Welcome all. Step right up. Here we go. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 4. This one is called The More You Tighten Your Grip, The More Star Systems Will Slip Through Your Fingers. Hey, happy 4th of July, everybody. It is 4th of July weekend as we are recording this. And so I hope you had a great day. Picnic, families, fireworks, all that good stuff to celebrate this awesome nation. I am the Brant, your host, and with me as always is...
And I'm your co-host, Brian Raddatz.
Awesome. And Brian, how has your summer, 4th of July, all that stuff been lately?
Yeah, it's been awesome. A lot of games, a lot of friends and family, and, you know, cookouts, good food, and better games and better friends.
So you've been doing a lot of gaming. What gaming have you been doing lately?
Well, yeah, I mean... My wife was away for a week visiting her parents, so I tried to fill that gap with games like every night, basically. And right before the 4th of July, we tried to play. We played from like 6 in the morning to 11 at night or something. Is that that's the case? I kind of took a gap in the middle. I had to work, but everyone else had it off, so.
Yeah, so I think what I heard you saying earlier there, Brian, is you basically drowned your sorrows in board games.
Basically.
So that could be healthy, right? People have worse things I could do that in. But yeah, we just came off a game day on the 3rd of July. We played, I think it was 7 in the morning till about midnight. It was roughly somewhere in there. Regardless, it was many hours of gaming.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. And it was interesting because typically we might play a lot of light games, it's almost how many games can you play, but we played a lot of heavy games in that period, and that was interesting. My brain was hurting. In fact, I think I had to take some aspirin just to keep my brain
that did make it around.
And that might not be so healthy, so we'll see how that goes. So, all right, so speaking of gaming, Brian, what's on your table? What have you been playing lately?
Yeah, so the first one, I guess, that we can talk about was Kanban.
Yeah,
by Stronghold Games, which was, I guess, the last game we got to the table in that marathon session.
Yep,
which,
Kanban, yeah. Automotive Revolution.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't say the full title, but, but yeah, it was the last one, and it was a bit heavier than I think we were ready to jumping into it. But it was an awesome game. You're going through like the full assembly line and building cars. All that sort of stuff, and there's, you know, it's almost like a worker placement in a sense, but there's a different, like, timing mechanism where there's, like, your management kind of going through and forcing the issue, having the game progress that way with, you know, all these different things that you're trying to do to put the whole car together, like, you know, from plan or project development all the way through to getting the car to your garage. It was an awesome game, and it's a very heavy Euro.
Yeah.
That's Kanban. So it was very heavy, and it was, like, how long did it take to explain it for us?
So I thought the rules were somewhere in the 30-minute range for me to explain. I was exhausted afterward.
Yeah.
I had to, like, have multiple drinks of water and iced tea or whatever I had, just, like, I was talking so much, my brain hurt so bad trying to explain this game.
And this was what you were talking about with the aspirin. This was where that kicked in, right?
Yeah, it was intense just to explain this game to everybody and all the moving parts and pieces. It's interesting because, like you said, at its heart, it's a worker placement, and you place one worker every round.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so you would think, oh, okay, it's just one worker, but that just takes all that thought process of, like, where's this person going to place? Where's that person going to place? And then you've got Sandra, who's the boss, who's kind of controlled by the game. And she moves along, and she moves to different departments and kind of eats up a spot and changes how things work there. So
I guess that worker is basically you then. You're going from, like, one area of the facility to another. And, you know, so the way it kind of progresses that way, like, it's forcing you to go to a different area of the board each time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not really going to be able to do everything you want to right from the get-go. And it was kind of funny, too, because we got through the whole game, and it's Kanban. It's a car manufacturing game. And I had my garage full of cars, which ended up being a ton of points, like, at the end. That's really what swung it. But no one else really emphasize. I mean, you had a couple cars in your garage too, but I don't think Larry or Eric had that many.
Yeah. Now the one thing to realize there though is the two places where you can get cars are also the same places where you can upgrade cars.
Yeah.
And so people were using that space a lot. It wasn't that people weren't going there. They were going there, but almost all of us had five or more upgraded plans.
Right.
And so we were doing that a lot. That might have been a meta of our group for this particular play, more than taking cars.
Well, it is funny hopping into something like that, like a heavy Euro, and not having a full grasp of what the end game points are going to look like. So it's just something where you're going through, you're progressing based on knowledge from previous games, like other styles of games, and you're just assuming that you're making good decisions as you go along.
Right.
And it definitely felt kind of swingy. Like, for me, it's one that I want to get to the table again to see if, now that I know what the end game points are going to look like, now I can make assumptions based on some knowledge of that game itself.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You didn't seem to like it as much.
So, this was the end of our night. So, we ended at like 11:30-ish. I don't remember exactly the time. We're clean up and all that. And we had started at 7 a.m. So, and I had played two other three-plus hour games that day. So
yeah, I fortunately missed out. That's when I was working. So, I didn't
think my brain was pretty exhausted. And after explaining 30 minutes of rules of how to play this game, I think that I had just gotten to the end of my, like, ability to think.
Yeah.
I still don't know that it was my favorite game. I really was not a big fan of it as we were playing it. I was also not doing so well, so that doesn't work. Brian did win the game, and winning always helps. But I definitely appreciated the theme. I appreciated the game. I could totally understand why people would just love this game. I mean, this is a Euro that couldn't be any more thematic. I mean, the theme you could say is kind of boring. You're working in a car factory producing cars, but that's all you did. Every single thing you did, even if you went to administration, the administration action was micromanage. I mean, how much more thematic could that be? And so that was definitely there. I think where I found it confusing, what was difficult for me, was it almost seemed like it had like a read the other players aspect. And I wasn't so good at doing that. Like, you got to read the other players and read Sandra and then figure out. And I was just kind of trying to place what works best for me, but not always trying to think of like what's the best like point scorer, or like not necessarily blocking other people, but how do I kind of work around the other people? So, which probably is thematic as well when I thought about it. Like, it's kind of like I'm in this job and I'm trying to prove myself more than all these other kind of managers. I want to be the best manager. And so I kind of have to also, you know, compare myself to them, which is a cool element that isn't always in a game that's just min-max. Like, it has that piece. So,
yeah,
I actually did go home and read some strategy articles on Kanban just to see if I was missing some things. And I saw some pieces that I didn't necessarily quite think of before. So
gotcha.
I'm willing to play it again. I think what I had said to you guys was, I don't know that I'm gonna like gather everybody to play this, but if it's being played, I'll jump in as a fourth player. So I would try it again. It wasn't
And we also played on the easy side, right?
There was a hard mode too where Sandra can punish everybody as she gets to their space department, and we played it as she rewards people if they've built enough. So that would be interesting to try as well and see how that changed things. So, Kanban, Automotive Revolution, Stronghold Games. You like it, Brian?
Yeah. Two thumbs up for me. So,
all right. And I'm middling still, but I'll do another play. So, we'll see how that goes. So, next up, actually, a little unique this week is all four games we're going to talk about today are all games that Brian and I played together. So,
we're not doing that fifth one? We'll get back to that. Okay. Sorry.
Let me keep my secrets. All right. So we're going to these are all games that we played together. So we played Forbidden Stars, which is the new giant board game from Fantasy Flight Games. This is based on Warhammer 40,000. And so we got a chance to play this game, break this out. So it's a big sprawling game. You know, it's got tiles of space and you've got four different races. You've got the orcs, the Eldar, the Chaos Space Marines, and the Ultramarines are all represented in the game. So we played with four people. And the goal of the game is you have to capture these objectives. So in a four-player game, you have six objectives, six planets that you have to go take over and hold at the end of a round. And you have to get those objectives, but you only have to score four of them. So you've got six possibilities and four you have to get. So that's how that works. The interesting part is you don't have to then maintain the planet. You just have to hold it for one round, and then you can just leave that planet behind. But the combat is interesting. It's kind of like an overview type combat, I feel like, instead of a specific, like, this unit fires and rolls this many dice. This unit fires and rolls this many dice. Like, it was more, you're looking at the broad spectrum. So you roll some dice to start, and then you have like a hand of cards, and you play the cards and kind of deal damage overall each round. So that's how this game goes. I thought it was fun. I thought it was good. It definitely warranted another play. Brian, I believe you won this as Chaos Space Marines.
Yeah.
Did you feel about this game?
Well, I guess getting back to that, like, we might have had a different setup. Like, we might have missed a couple things in setup, so it would have been easier for me to win.
That's but true.
I did have like a couple abilities that did seem a little more powerful. Maybe that was based on the setup that was a little different, but I don't know. I really did enjoy it. It's not necessarily my favorite style of game, mm-hmm. but it was one that I enjoyed playing, and I'd like to try it out with some of the different races, because each one's very unique. Like, it did feel like for the first play, we were still kind of getting accustomed to that, trying to figure out what our races were doing, you know, because you're trying to go toward the end game without knowing what that's looking like for your race. So another play definitely would help, and it was enjoyable. It was, you know, it didn't feel huge to me. Like, it didn't feel like a huge board game, but it was, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, I guess, but it was fun, and it felt like an exploration sort of thing, and you're trying to like manage your resources and expand, but as you're doing that, other people are kind of taking over your stuff that you left behind. So, you know, almost like a 4X sort of feel with the 40K theme added on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I thought what really seemed evident in this game to us was, like you're saying, you might go into it thinking it's a 4X, but at the end of the day, it really rewarded attacking. Like, it just wanted you to get out there and get those planets and, you know, win your points. Not that it missed out on building up or, you know, definitely upgrading technology was a neat part of it. You have a deck of 10 cards, and it comes in five pairs of two. And when you upgrade, you get to take two of those cards out and put two new cards in. So that felt like a pretty big upgrade. So that was kind of an exciting piece to like doing your combat.
I didn't feel like Forbidden Stars was that combat oriented, though. Like, it felt like a couple of moments where we did have key combats, like, it kind of dragged out a little bit with not a clear resolution, because like the combat kind of progresses, like, you'll add a card to your mix and you've got all your units and your dice that you've rolled, and you kind of check out the results like based on that first card, and that card is going to last through two more rounds of combat, assuming someone hasn't been wiped out. So,
right.
You know, it really progresses, but a couple times in our game, like even the last key battle, it felt kind of stagnant, where it's like, I'm not killing any of Larry's units, he's not killing any of my units, so it's really just kind of a head count at the end of it for whoever has to, like, the lowest, what's the score, like morale, or not morale,
yeah.
Something, like the lowest one has to retreat, basically.
Right.
But it didn't feel like there was anything happening, except adding up that morale.
Yeah, that last battle was very anticlimactic, it felt like, but again, maybe another play where we kind of understand the system and then you're playing into that would help there. Going back to your point about not being a lot of combat, maybe conquest is a better term, because you're definitely taking over planets every turn.
Oh, yeah, if you're talking that, that's
combating other people. So I see what you're saying there. But
gotcha.
It definitely wanted you to go out. It wasn't like a turtle game. It wasn't sit in your place, because you had to go to get your objectives anyway. So, but it was really streamlined. Now, the token system is based on StarCraft that Fantasy Flight made several years ago, 2007, 2008, something like that. And a lot of the things, to me, it really, the more I played it, the more it felt like that old StarCraft game. And it really felt like they streamlined that down. Like, they really wanted it to just be very manageable. So it didn't end up being a super heavy 4X type game. But it still took a while. I mean, there were still parts. It was still fiddly with different things that you had to move around. But it seemed to really be streamlined on, like, here's your goal, go get your goal. And then you had to just clash with other people, whether it was directly or just based on, like, movement and those kind of things, like where people were. So, but I thought it was really fun. I definitely want to play it again. Definitely want to try a race. You know, there's four different races there. It'd be awesome if they release a box with four new races, because that would just be what makes it so fun. All the asymmetrical different races are definitely a key part of Forbidden Stars. So what was your kind of final verdict on Forbidden Stars there?
Yeah, I mean, I want to play it again. I think Kanban is more of my style of game, but yeah. Forbidden Stars is still, it was still fun. So maybe 1.5 thumbs if you can do that. I don't know.
Sounds good. No, whichever. What else you been playing, Brian? Or we been playing?
Yeah, so I guess it worked out where the first game we played is the next one I'm going to talk about. So it was the first game and last game that I'm really recapping.
Yep.
So the first one is actually the older one that I'd like to touch base on. And that's Carson City. The version I have is from Eagle Griffin. I think there's a Kickstarter up now. Is that from, like, Quinid Games or something like that?
Right. Yeah, I think it's kind of both publishers together.
But that one was really fun. It's a worker placement game set in the Wild West. You know, so you've got your workers that you're putting on the board and rolling dice. Like, you can definitely... You have the Western theme because your workers are not set. You're not necessarily guaranteed that action. Someone else can try to take it and then have, like, a shootout with you, and the loser and the loser would take their guy back. It's not like they're killed or anything, but you don't get the benefit from that action that turn. So it was one where you're kind of, like, building these buildings on this separate board, placing your workers on, like, different parts that give you, like, money or give you the ability to build the buildings, and you're really progressing. You're kind of expanding the town, creating, like, all these different interactions, like you're building ranches or mines or saloons, that sort of stuff, and you're really expanding that while trying to gain money and get victory points and everything like that. So, and I don't know, you'd played it a while ago, but this was the first game with, like, with other people, right?
Yeah.
And how'd you like it?
I did like it. I loved it. The theme was great. It was, you know, it's a worker placement, and it wasn't complex in terms of worker placement, but then it added that element that made it different of you could have the duels. And not only kind of on the string of actions could you have duels, but you could actually duel over, like, property. Like, once Brian built a ranch, I could go there and I could, like, steal half his money that he earns from his ranch or whatever other building. So that was kind of neat. You had all these places you could go duel. You really couldn't even avoid it all the time. People were going to duel you, and you know, they might just do that, but that was kind of part of the game.
Yeah.
It seemed to me like it had two avenues. You could either be the person who makes a lot of money by building a lot of things and owning property, or you could be the person who duels a lot and takes the money from other people by being stronger. In this game, I got caught in the middle.
Yeah.
I was trying to make money while trying to duel, but we were playing three player, and the other two of you each had those kind of, you were cornering the market on each of those. And I didn't try to, like, create my own room. I just tried to stop both of you. So
yeah,
that kind of left me in a poor spot. Totally my own fault. When we got to the last round, it got to the point where there was just no way I was going to win. So I just, the part I didn't like, but again, like I said, it was my own fault, but it kind of put me in this situation of, okay, I could go all in against you, or I could go all in against Larry, and then possibly that would swing it so one of you or the other would win.
Yeah.
So I actually just ended up passing and not even doing the last round. It wasn't because I was upset or something. I think I made it feel like that, but it was just like I wasn't interested in being part of that game. At the very, like, in the whole, like, I determine, you know, some king making who's going to win here. So I just kind of bowed out. But like I said, I loved the game. I'd love to play it again and know, oh, okay, you can't do what I did next time.
Yeah.
That might not work so well. Also, playing with four or five may make it totally different. Because
right. And what I was doing, like, I was building ranches and stuff. And I did read somewhere that, you know, once it gets above and beyond, like, we had a very low head count for this game.
Right.
So there was a lot of space, and the ranches definitely, they benefit from being kind of in this open area with nothing happening. Mm-hmm. With five people, all of a sudden the city is really, you know, there's like a bigger city and it's expanding quickly. I guess it's Carson City, right? That's the name of the city and
that's
the name of
building.
The game. But yeah, so it seemed like I kind of benefited from that with a smaller number of people. And Larry was really focused. He just wanted to get guns to to duel people. And he seemed to do pretty well doing that. Like it didn't feel like he was stealing my money like initially. And maybe that would have been something that would have benefited him a little more, you know, because I kind of took the lead for money and I was making a ton each turn. But I don't know. I guess another play and we'll see what what does happen with that.
Yeah, no, I loved it. It was very fun. I didn't win, and I had a blast not winning.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. That last turn was a little annoying for me, but it was fine. It wasn't a big deal to just be like, well, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Not a big deal. I think that's where, like, when I looked at Kanban, it took us 3+ hours. And it was a point way earlier where it was like, I'm not, it's going to be tough for me, but you're learning the game. But this one took us 45 minutes, an hour? Maybe an hour all together, learn, and
yeah,
it was
probably
very
an hour
fast.
With,
it was a very quick worker placement game. So
yeah,
but I loved it. The theme was great. It was super fun. So
yeah, and I don't know. Is the Kickstarter done for Carson City at this moment?
I think as of today, there's like 10 days left. So
okay,
yeah, that's going to add some more stuff. Oh, one part we did miss in this game is that at the beginning of every round, you select roles.
Yeah.
So there's some roles you can select. You can be the sheriff. You can be an outlaw. You can be a banker. You can be, I don't know. There were all sorts of different roles, but those were cool. They added more theme and kind of gave you a special ability for that round. That was a neat difference too.
Yeah.
So, and then determined player order off of that. So,
right.
That was neat. So,
but yeah. So I guess it still should be going for a little bit, and it had been out of print for a while, which is nice to see some more stuff going on for it, like a couple expansions, the base game back in stock is nice. I don't know if we'll get any at the store, but check out the Kickstarter if you're interested.
Yeah, great game, Carson City. All right, and then the last game we're going to talk about today is actually the longest back. We have to go back about 2+ weeks when we played this, but we played an older game now, or maybe it's like a year or two old, I don't know. but this is Amerigo by Stefan Feld. So I think this was the year. It might actually just been last year, but there was a year where Stefan Feld released a whole bunch of games. So this one's through Queen Games. And so this is the whole exploring the new world. Amerigo Vespucci is what it's named after. So I figure on 4th of July weekend, talking about this, where we get America from, seems apropos. So like any Stefan Feld game, if you've played some before, Castles of Burgundy, Trajan, Bora Bora, there's so many. I could just keep listing these, but it's a point salad game. There's lots of different ways to earn points. Pretty good components. The board is a bunch of tiles that are double-sided, and you kind of put a frame around them, and they're all these little islands. So it's not supposed to represent America. It's just a new world with a bunch of random islands on it. And then you've got the cube tower is one of the key pieces to this. So instead of a dice tower where you throw dice in, it's where you throw cubes, and then it's got little ledges that some of the cubes can land on so they get caught. And so then you kind of, every round, you put these cubes in, and then a certain number come out, and that determines actions for each round. So the idea is you score points, you sail and you explore new islands, you get points, then you build things on those islands. And when the island fills up, everybody who built on the island gets points. There's treasure chests you can find. There's resources. As you build over the resources, you gain them. And then at the end of the game, they kind of give points, kind of in an exponential style. You have to then, once you have like so much sugar or cotton or whatever, you have to build plants, and then you score points for each of those, kind of a multiplication thing. Simple math, not hard math. And there was an action track where you could kind of take whatever action you were on, so that way if you didn't like an action that was coming to you, and I think that determined player order as well.
Yeah, I think so.
And then there were pirates that would attack. At the end of every round, the pirates would attack. So one of the actions was building up cannons, and you had to have enough cannons. But, of course, it was very abstract. It was just you have to fire 3 cannons if 3 pirates attack. And if you don't, you lose the point differential. So it was really just a point thing more
so
than...
So the theme wasn't really oozing out of that.
The theme was not super strong there. But, you know, for a Euro, there was theme there. There was, you know, the theme was very based around the mechanics, because we need these to be the mechanics. this is thematically what's going on, as opposed to, you know, a really strong theme game is the reverse. Like, how do we make this theme ooze through the game? It was definitely, you know, kind of the reverse there.
So how do you explain the cube tower? Is that...
I don't know. Yeah, that one's tough.
But no, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, no, the cube tower was fun. So what would happen is there were 7 different colors. So one whole round would be, you started with the blue cubes. You drop the 7 blue cubes in. Everything, I think, was based on 7, like 7 wonders. And the blue cubes, you put the blue cubes in. At the beginning of the game, it was seeded with, like, I think you drop all the cubes in, and whatever stays in is in. You drop the 7 blue cubes in, and then a whole bunch of cubes will come out. And so let's say you get like 3 blue cubes, 2 black, and a red. Well, now on that turn, it means you can do the blue, the black, or the red action, which I believe was like acquire buildings, cannons, or move, sailing was blue. But because 3 blue cubes, 3 was the highest number, that's how many actions. So you can do 3 actions of one of those type. And so everybody would pick what they want to do. You go around, and then the next little phase of that round would be to drop all the black cubes in, and then things would come out, and you'd go all the way around until you did all 7 of them. And then that would be the end of a round. That's when the pirates would attack, and then you just keep going around that loop. So you knew on a given phase or turn, whatever you want to call that, when blue cubes got dropped in, they were most likely to have a lot of those, or that action was definitely going to happen, so you'd have a shot at it. And that was kind of the idea. But the other thing you do is progress. So you could kind of get in technology where kind of these tokens you would get that would say, oh, when you sail, you can sail 2 further spaces, or you score extra points for this. Or I think one of them that was funny was everybody gets double pirates this round or something like that, or additional pirates. So that was kind of an interesting one to deal with, except you.
yeah.
And so I thought it was fun. I thought it was a good game. I actually thought it was better than I thought it was going to be. It's a little hard to remember going 2.5 weeks back now. But I talked a lot. So Brian, what did you think about Amerigo? And
yeah, no, I mean, it was really fun. It definitely fit the type of game that I'm looking to play most of the time. I mean, you know, I'll hop in on most games, but this one was really fun. It was really engaging for, you know, for the majority of the part. And you're really trying to explore kind of do these different actions that benefit you, and you're really trying to progress your board state, you know, while everyone's taking different actions and using the cube tower, that sort of stuff. I guess there are a couple things that were a little weird in our play. The cube tower was kind of acting a little finicky to start, I believe. Like, I kind of walked in, you guys grabbed the cube tower from Shogun and the cube tower from Amerigo, and you're trying to figure out which one was actually going to be working the best, because all the cubes just kind of fell through, I believe.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something where the meat of the game is coming from that cube tower and limiting the actions that you can do. If all of a sudden everything was coming out, you wouldn't really have a game there. So that one was a little strange. And the technologies that were available, most of the ones that came out like very last round of the game were the ones that gave you benefits for taking certain actions.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would have changed the game entirely if they came out to begin with, because then people really have something to focus on. They're really going after these specific actions because it benefits them more than everyone else. But last round, it was just like, oh, that came out, we don't really need that now because we're not going to get the benefit from it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think even despite that, it was really fun. Like, it wasn't a hindrance to the game that those were out at the last round. It just would have made it, you know, much different, like, if those had come out to start the game and then people were really focused on their actions.
Right, yeah, no, that would have been, it was almost like everybody wanted to take the same action because nobody had a bonus in any of them. So, okay, amongst these actions, there was always kind of a favorite anyway, so people would kind of be doing the same thing and you wouldn't see people doing different things.
Yeah.
But Amerigo, Queen Games, very good game. Definitely want to try it again. Same for you, Brian?
Yeah.
Awesome. So I have one more game.
That fifth game that we were
that we were alluding to. And so I picked up a copy of Timeline, which is a small tin game from Asmodee. And really simple game. You get some cards with events. So the one we have is Americana. And you get various events, you know, signing of Declaration of Independence. No, sorry, that one's not in there because it's a little obvious, I think, for most people. But they give you events like this. When did, like, the Washington Post first start making newspapers, and MLK's speech, and various other American events. They also have funny ones like TV shows, and Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl, I believe, is one of them in there. And so you get these event cards, but you have them all one side up, and then you take another card, you put it on the table face up, and it tells you the year that that event took place. And now, one at a time, you have to place events either to the left or to the right, basically creating a timeline of events, and you have to either decide, did your event take place before or after? And as more events get on the table, then you start putting it between two events. And if you're right, it stays there, and if you're wrong, you discard it and you draw a new card, so you're kind of down. And, you know, the goal is to run yourself out of cards. But I really look at this as an activity more than a game. It's, you know, can we do this, and what can you do? I think it's awesome. I mean, I am a history nerd, I guess, so I'm interested in learning. So I don't even care if I'm wrong, because it's like, oh, now I know when that event happened. So if it's referred to or people are talking about it, I now know. Or if you don't know what an event is, like, we now have bought the music and cinema one, and we've bought the historical events one. It's like, I've never heard of this event. And so now you kind of, you go, you learn about it. And so I really just appreciate it for that. So again, timeline, Asmodee, more of an activity than a game, but it's really fun. So I enjoy that a lot. And it's really fun to play with my wife. So we have a good time doing that. It's quick and simple. So that is what's been on our table lately. So let's talk about some upcoming events at the store. Just another reminder here that every Wednesday I'm at the store. We're playing board games from 6 to 11 at night, or close, whichever that is, 11-ish. And so we're playing board games there. So that's happening all the time. We have Magic the Gathering going on like every day of the week. There's a draft or an event that you can get involved in, F&M, and all sorts of different things like that. So definitely make sure you go on and check out the webpage and our Facebook page. So the web is www.timemachineportal.com. And you can go to our Facebook page and find out events and all sorts of other upcoming things. The other thing I want to remind people about is July 11th at 2 o'clock. We're playing Forbidden Stars that Brian and I just talked about. So we'll be breaking out this game and playing it. So if you want to try your hand at Forbidden Stars, whether you've purchased it, played it or not, you can do that. So you can either email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com to sign up. You can say something on the Facebook page, or you can go into the store and you can sign up there. So sign up, come play with us, check out Forbidden Stars. Okay, next up, we had an event at the store recently. We played Twilight Imperium 3. This is the old, now it's an older version, not an older version, sorry, an older game from Fantasy Flight Games. A lot of Fantasy Flight Games today, I feel like we're talking about. But it's their big 4X space exploration, combat, all those kind of things. Brian, have you played Twilight Imperium 3 before?
No.
Brian has not played it. So
I wanted to play with you guys, but it's unfortunately I was working, so yeah, I couldn't hop in, and we had like an open house that day, so it wasn't really something where I could just say, hey, I'm gonna be doing this over here for a bit, get me if you need me. I really need to be hands-on. So
yeah, so we played this, we had four people, which is good, but it plays up to eight, and that's really where, you know, it's gonna shine, especially 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm not going to go through the whole game because it's not a review, but basically there's these action cards. There's eight of them that everybody's supposed to select around in a round. And so if you have 5, 6, 7, or 8, everybody gets one. With 4, everybody gets 2, which is nice because you want to make sure that there's enough of them out there. But it kind of, you know, there's a little bit more to to deciding and those kind of things. You're not playing off other people as much. You kind of can do some of those things. So it's nicer if you have more people. But it was fun. We started at about 11 o'clock in the morning. Well, 10:30, I guess. And the rules took me about an hour because people really wanted to know, you know, everything. It just seemed like a game where you kind of have everything on the table and had all the expansions involved. And so we had everything that you could there.
Both the expansions.
What?
Both the expansions?
Both the expansions.
Well, no.
I made it sound
like there were like a million.
There were a ton, yeah. No, there's two expansions. So we used both of them, which is, you know, the beginning of the game, you set up the galaxy. You have your home worlds are kind of in static places. Mechatol Rex is kind of the planet in the middle that everybody's going for. And then everybody gets to place their hexagonal tiles. So I can kind of put a supernova in front of you. I can put good planets that I want to explore next to me and whatnot. So you set everything up there. So expansion gives us more of those tiles to work with. It gives you a flagship. So it's a space combat game. So you can kind of build like your large one that has a special ability related to your race. Definitely one of the coolest parts about this game is it has 17 different races with the expansions that you can choose from. So until you play that game 18 times, you have not experienced the whole game, I suppose. And it takes a while. You're locked in for 4 to 8 hours playing this game. But I know everybody really had a blast. Theme is very strong in this game. You're clearly in space. You're clearly playing a race that is quite asymmetrical. You start with, you know, unique powers. You start with a unique setup. You have unique technologies. I mean, this game incorporates everything. There's politics, there's space combat, there's planet invasion. Then you have the whole game is scored by objective cards. So you have secret objectives and public objectives that are trying to be scored. So people really had a good time. I mean, they were just playing and they were just saying, wow, like, oh my goodness, this game is so good. Not winning, losing, it was still fun. It's kind of a game where even if you don't win, you get to tell the story of the game. One guy, he took Mechatol Rex in the beginning, and he just tried to hang on to it desperately as everybody assaulted it, and it just didn't look good for him. But he held it long enough to score his secret objective, and that actually bounced him in points to the top right before somebody else end the game. He ended up being in a tie and lost the tiebreaker, but that was just such a great story. Like, I tried to take that planet, and I just held out, very weak the whole time, but eventually he was able to score and come in second place. So he was super excited about that in terms of what happened. So,
yeah, you know, I guess it was cool because I would check in every now and then. I saw some snapshots of the game, and it did seem, you know, like I didn't know exactly what was going on, but like Brant was saying, there was one guy who seemed like he was just out of it. And it kind of felt that way from, you know, a couple of steps into it when I saw it. But knowing that the points and everything are kind of a little more variable, like it wasn't like your board state is what you're scoring. Like it seems like it's more of a do this, accomplish this goal, and, you know, you'll get rewarded for that.
Right.
And it was really cool to see those different, like the progression of it.
So. Yeah, and some of the goals you could argue are easy to score, but they don't help you along your path of moving forward. So it's kind of interesting. Like, you know, you have to decide, am I going to score these points or am I trying to hold this planet? So you kind of have that balance, which is kind of neat. You know, it makes it interesting. I definitely think if people haven't played it, it's worth a play. I think it's so big. It's so epic. It's so thematic. It's fun.
Yeah.
Like I said, you cannot win the game, but you love to tell the story of what happened. This is how I feel about Dead of Winter.
Yeah.
In fact, I've never won Dead of Winter, but I like to tell the stories of how we died.
Yeah.
Or how we lost. So I think it's fun there. So if you haven't played Twilight Imperium 3, I know a lot of people are interested in playing it again. So please email us again, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com, and I'd love to set up another game of this. If people are interested in trying it out. I don't think it's as daunting as it seems. I think it's just time consuming. I think we played for about 6 hours after the hours of instruction. So you just need to set aside that time. But I don't think it's so hard that people, you know, can't comprehend it. You know, it's not.
So like out of this and Kanban, you would.
Yeah, Kanban is much harder to comprehend.
Yeah.
Whereas this is much more straightforward with a lot of things that you can do. And going from there. But all in all, it was a great event. People loved it. And then, like I said, we're following this up with Forbidden Stars And we'll be playing Game of Thrones in August. So more info to come on that.
So a lot of yeah. Now we're going to the Fantasy Flight.
Yeah, yeah, definitely all Fantasy Flight. But I know these are big box games that take a while that people have been interested in playing. So yeah. Go from there. All right, we want to talk about what's new at the store and what's available for pre-order. So, first off, what is new at the store? We've got new LCG packs. So we've got the Star Wars has a new pack out. Lord of the Rings has a new pack out. So come and check out those. Also new on the shelf, Ultimate Warriors, kind of cardboard standee battle arena. The box makes a little arena, gladiator style. You can play 8 players. It's very King of Tokyo-esque. It doesn't have that dice rolling mechanic, but it definitely, the cardboard standees and kind of the number player count, probably the time to play it. That one really looks interesting to me. I want to try it. Definitely a light game, but looks really fun. Speaking of light games, we just got Mars Attacks 10-Minute Takedown. I think the title is trying to tell you that it's a light game. This is a die-flicking game. You have these circles. You have to flick the die from your saucer and get them in the circles. And as you get closer, you know, you can stay there. It basically, to me, looks like table golf. So that I'm interested in trying that one. Looks interesting. And then last, we have Dracone. This is the 4th edition of Dracone. I know it's been out for a while. So we have that in. So that's what's new at the store. Brian, what do we have available for pre-order?
Yeah, so a couple, we just got a couple lists of stock that will be coming out in the next few months, hopefully. I guess depending on release, and I don't know. We'll see. There are things that are available now that will be coming out. So I guess I want to just touch base on a couple ones that we really saw and we were interested in, and Brant might know a little bit more about some of these than I do, but there are a couple from like Eagle Griffin Games that are going to be coming out. There's The Gallerist, which was just up on Kickstarter. I think it's done now, but that one looked really cool just based on the, like, I was just looking at the box. I saw the pieces. It looked like there was a lot to it. I don't know much about it, but it looks fun. And then Wombat Rescue is the other one from them. That seemed to be a highlight one. And Brant was mentioning something before the podcast. So.
Yes. So I believe, if I remember from watching reviews of this Wombat Rescue, so apparently the way wombats find their way around or find their way back home is they follow the smell of their excrement. And so in this game, you are dropping cubes. That is wombat poop. And then you are making a trail, and then you can follow the trail backwards so you can get anywhere that your wombat poop is. So I think part of the, I think it's an area control type game then. And so you're trying to put your poop where other people's is, or move there. So they're not as able to get where they're trying to go. So anyway, just a funny aside, I might be wrong exactly on the details of that, but humorous nonetheless.
Let's see. And then one from Game Salute that will be coming out. There's an expansion for Shadow Rift, which seems like a game that we had tried a while ago, and it was really fun, like a really cool cooperative deck builder, I believe. It was really fun when we tried it, you know, but it's been kind of pushed out of my mind. All of a sudden, there's an expansion that's announced, and it's one that I really want to get back to the table and try out again.
Good call. I agree. I really liked Shadow Rift. We played it and it was too hard because we got a rule wrong. Then we played one that apparently was too easy. So we need to try those middle ones and see how it goes.
Yeah, I wonder if the expansion would even be something where they're trying to like to fix some of that, like those balance issues. Like a lot of times you see that with game companies that, you know, are still kind of figuring stuff out. They'll put something out, it'll be broken, and then they get something out to fix it. So
yep.
I'm intrigued by that. From IDW, they just announced that they were bringing over The Game, which is one of the Spiel des Jahres nominees this year. So that one's one that's really cool. It's kind of, I've heard it's very much like Hanabi, mm-hmm. with like that you don't necessarily know what you can't see what you've got, but you're kind of putting stuff out on the table, and it's a cooperative game, I believe, as well. So
yeah,
I don't know. That one's interesting. Like, you should definitely check it out when it comes in. Those sorts of games kind of feel, again, like activities rather than, you know, a competitive game. But I don't know. I'm intrigued by that one, too.
Yeah. And activities are fun.
Yeah. From Renegade Game Studios, Snow Tales will be getting back in stock. There's going to be a reprint from that. That was a while ago.
That's a long time ago.
And that was Asmodee originally, I believe. And now it's, well, I mean, it was Asmodee here in the U.S. Yeah. And now they're coming back out with that. There had been a second one. I forget the name of that one, but I think this one kind of adds some new elements, kind of combines the two and makes something available to the U.S. We'd played it once. I don't think this was your favorite game, but
it's hard to remember. That was a while ago.
Yeah. But that one's definitely one to check out if you're into like a racing game and it's got a unique theme. You're kind of
dog racing.
Yeah, dog racing game in like the, you know.
Yeah, dog snow. Sledding, I guess, right?
But no, that one looks cool. And that one, I'm glad is coming back in stock. So along with that, Bezier games, there are a couple games that are announced. I hope those are going to be available for Gen Con, but there's Castles of Mad King Ludwig. Yeah. There's an expansion for that game called Secrets. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I've played that game a couple times, and that one's really interesting. You're building a castle and playing these tiles down, and, you know, more tiles are always better, right?
Yeah, hey.
Yeah.
The more the merrier. We'll check that out at Gen Con, Brian.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll hopefully bring it back, right?
There you go, yes.
Because I know Larry was excited about that. But along with that, there's Cool Mini or Not. There's Zombicide, Black Plague, which is up for pre-order. Not necessarily my game, but people do love Zombicide, and you're just kind of going to town.
And I know this is medieval themed. I think all the other ones have been modern themed, and so this one is medieval themed, which is neat. I think
this is intended to be its own take, like its own, like a new base
universe,
set, basically. Yeah. So that one's intriguing if you like Zombicide, which a lot of people do.
Very popular game.
Let's see. Gale Force 9 has another expansion for Firefly that just came available for pre-order for us. I don't know much about it, but it's one to check out if you love Firefly, and I don't know, the game, I still need to try that out, but
yeah, I find that with people, it's a very take it or leave it game. Some people really like it, and some people, it's not their favorite, but I thought it was good. Length was one of the bigger issues with the game. It just took a long time to do things, but I mean, that's shipping stuff through the galaxy, right?
Yeah.
Takes a while.
Let's see, a couple others that jumped out. Stronghold Games, they're actually coming out with a second edition of Stronghold, the game. So it makes sense that way. That had been Portal Games originally, I believe. I don't know the full deal, but it was released a while ago, and now it's coming back. And Stronghold Games does a lot of, like, they produce their games very well. Like, they've got high production quality, and I don't know. That's one that I'd definitely like to play.
This is one to watch for. Stronghold was a great game, and if they can streamline it just a little bit and grade it, make it look better, because it's just these tiny little cubes that you use that represent a lot of things. But this is the classic castle siege. You know, the orcs are coming in and they're trying to take the castle, and the humans are defending the castle, and it's got every element of that battle. And so it's a cool game. So I definitely think if they can streamline a little bit, cut some time off of it, make things make a little more sense, and look better, it's definitely one to watch for.
Yeah, and the last one that I guess I noticed was from Tasty Minstrel. There's an expansion for Scoville, which is a pepper, build like a hot pepper growing game where you're just trying to like fulfill these different contracts and grow a lot of peppers. So another expansion, which is really cool. It's good to see some following for that game. So
yeah, Scoville's been very popular. People have talked about that a bunch. So.
Yeah, those were the ones that jumped out. I'm sure there are going to be some more that are announced, so just keep your eyes open for that. We'll try to post stuff up to our website and Facebook if there's something. And we always try to touch base on everything we can during the podcast. I know some companies are a little more secretive than others, but this was stuff that we were made aware of as a store, so we want to let you guys know so we can kind of get pre-orders in for those.
All right, there we go. That is Portal Gaming Podcast. Episode number 4 is in the books. So super Exciting. Thanks for listening, everybody. I know that I am excited because we are now in the month of July, and the month of July is when Gen Con happens, and we are going, and I am so excited. How are you feeling about that, Brian?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's my first time, your first time, so...
Yeah, yeah. Never been. Crowds and crowds of people. I can't wait to be suffocated in amongst them.
I'm already looking forward to next year when I'll know what I'm doing.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, apparently that's the big thing with Gen Con is you got to go once and just figure out what you're doing and then go again. But I am trying to go with nothing. I don't even know that I'm going to bring any games to play. I'm just going to play what's there. I've even been talking to you about how I don't even want to have a backpack. Like, yeah. I want to be as minimal as possible. But I know if you buy something or you have things, it's good to have a backpack. So we'll see. But 15-hour drive. You ready for that?
Yeah.
To get out there from where we are here in Connecticut. So, but it should be a good time. So, all right, everybody. Thank you for listening. As always, I am The Brant, and with me is...
Brian Raddatz.
And until next time, we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on July 5th, 2015. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Omar Nauman and Epic Arts for assisting in the recording of this podcast.